Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me on the program today is author Marie Davis, an internationally published author. She is an award-winning syndicated cartoonist, and her work is being published in 5 languages. She has now broken free of the comic strip and is writing novels. Her first novel, an audiobook entitled Hey Diddle Diddle, A Naughty Delight for Lesbians and Other Grown-Ups, is a fanciful, over-the-top tale of sex and obsession. It can be found in 8 different countries and ordered online at Amazon or motesbooks.com. And Marie's blog is for mariedavis.blogspot.com. So that said, welcome to the program today, Marie.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. You know, this new novel that you've written is very much a change from the cartoon world and the comic world in general. So how are you feeling about this transition into novel writing?
Well, it's a lot of fun. It sure is. But people often don't realize that cartoonists are really writers. And we spend a whole lot of time disguised behind our drawing table, writing very short stories. The shortest story is comic strips. In my drawing table, I can stick a pair of eyes and a mouth on anything, even a cantaloupe, and then I can make that cantaloupe talk. So it's sort of being a cartoonist is like being a novelist on a dictionary diet of less than 20 words that you can use a day. So, and all those words have to carry a lot of weight. The powerful thing about that is that once I started writing fiction, I then both had that ability to write succinctly and cleverly, but also be very whimsical because I've spent 20 years wondering, well, exactly what does a cantaloupe think? Does it have the hots for the coconut? You know, I mean, we all kind of lust after things, difficult nuts that are, you know, hard to crack. So it's been a really fun adventure for me.
It's so interesting, you know, you use the word whimsical, and it seems to me like you would really see life quite comically.
Well, people tell me that. I suppose I grew up in a family we just used humor as a way of getting by. My mother's famous saying is, they said, cheer up, things could be worse, and sure enough, I cheered up and they got worse.
Yeah.
So we all have just sort of used humor. And I think humor is very powerful. That's really how I started writing fiction. My partner at the time was sick, and we thought she was probably dying, and she was in the hospital. The kind of disease she had, I couldn't touch her. So I would go at home in the afternoons and write these long, funny passages so that I could call her up and read them to her at night and make her laugh. So 2 great things came out of that. Number one, she got better. And number two, within a year, a publisher picked up my novel.
Hey, Diddle Diddle.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, the power of humor is, there's so many books written on that. I'm so happy to hear that your partner is doing well.
Yes, she is. She's just great. As a matter of fact, we do a lot of work together. So she's pretty terrific.
Oh, that's great. So I'd like to hear a little more about your writing history. You know, we mentioned that you're syndicated. You've got 3 very well-known, internationally known comic strips.
Well, I do. The one that is that I have 3 strips, and 2 of them are exclusively in the U.S., and my 3rd one, which is a lesbian comic strip called Bezos Kisses Brassier, is it's published in 5 languages and is in 8 countries. And so I'm working with women around the world to help me work in translations and to get my work so that it's available to the GBLT community in their countries, which is really cool because, for example, let's say Belarus, which is where my strip is, then that country is still very much fighting for gay and lesbian rights. And so it's so wonderful because my cartoon strip gets to be a voice in that dialogue of fighting for rights. I'm very proud of that.
So what kind of material do you write about in your strips? Is it quite political?
No, I really don't write a political strip. It's very much about the life and the loves and the love experiences that lesbians have. And the thing that makes it political in this, the other side of the coin, which is so common in my writing, is that sort of a poignancy disguised as humor.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it so political is the fact that I am becoming this voice for lesbians around the world as a that we all share a common language of love experiences, difficulties with other people outside of our GBLT community.
Mm.
And it's interesting. So regardless of our language, our native tongue, we still do speak this common love experience.
Mm-hmm. And so even that there are different cultures that we're talking about here, that is the commonality, the experience.
Absolutely. And isn't that fascinating, Juanita, that we can perceive ourselves all so differently, yet at the other hand, we're all so similar.
It's so true. So very true. So when you originally started writing the comics, what got you into actual comic writing instead of novel writing right from the get-go?
Well, it's when I went to college, I debated between should I become an artist or a writer, and I got an art degree thinking that I couldn't do both. Well, now, nearly 20 years later, I find myself in a career doing both. And it's so funny that I'm a cartoonist because I majored in sculpture. And frankly, my drawing teachers, they just thought it was just really that I drew poorly.
Oh, really?
But, I know. And then how many years later, and I'm international.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. It's the funny thing about cartooning. But cartoons are really... And humor in general is a very powerful message in our world of how to get by and make the best of life as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Make light of it, because we're all going to have struggles.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So what does life as a cartoonist, now transitioning to novelist, look like?
Well, I have this philosophy. I'm frankly scared to death not to work. I work 7 days a week, so I have sort of this really wildly, whimsical yet disciplined life. So 7 days a week, holidays included, I'm working, usually in the mornings. But that's whenever I think words and drawings work for, and humor works for me, is whenever I show up and I volunteer for the beating that art will give you.
That's great.
Because it does. And then from time to time, lo and behold, I do something really great, and the beating stops for a little while. I think any creative person, writer or otherwise, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So do you delve into any other artistic pursuits besides the writing?
Well, other than cartoons and fiction, that's the only thing that I'm doing now. I gave up sculpture years ago because I just found out that it was just too darned expensive.
Mm.
And that's really where I started drawing, because pen and paper is a lot cheaper than clay and steel and so forth. Although I love the three-dimensional arts and have fantasies of someday returning to them.
Well, sure. Well, you just never know what kind of transition will happen in the future. So are you focusing now on novel writing for the most part?
Well, I am. I'm working on finishing my second novel, which is this really wild and crazy lesbian pirate adventure that occurs on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
And these women who crew this great big pirate ship that is dry docked next to a Walmart. And so they sort of have this, and Walmart is sort of their foe, and they're, anyway, it's wildly funny.
I love that Walmart.
It's an odd place to find a pirate ship.
That is very odd. But you can almost find anything in a Walmart, right?
This is true, yes.
So I want to hear more about Hey Diddle Diddle and the characters in this book. Tell us about the storyline, and I'd love to maybe have you recite a passage.
Oh, that would be great. Thanks for asking. Well, it's based on that poem that we all print, that we all know. If anyone's actually forgot it, it's very short. Hey, diddle, diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon. The little dog laughed to see such a sight, and the dish ran away with the spoon. So each component in that poem is a character in my novel. And, for example, there's a philosophical spoon that's a bit morose. There's a lusty, hot dish and a moon, and, of course, the cow who does jump over the moon, a cat with a fiddle that's rather a magical creature, character, and, yeah, it's just, it's, and then there is this little dog. Oh, you know, the little dog has the personality. Oh, Juanita, you know the type of people who just really delight in other people's misery? That's the little dog. So when the cow jumps over the moon and things turn for the worse for the cow, the little dog is very happy.
That's so funny. I love the emphasis you put on characters. It's really, I mean, that's your writing style.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love to write characters that I want to either get in bed with or share a good bottle of wine with. So it's a lot of fun. Like my cow has fantasies about Neil Armstrong on the moon. You know, because Neil's been there and he's put the flag on the moon. She set the hot spring bath.
And so we have to note, too, that this is a bit of a PG-13.
Well, or, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely written for adults. Well, did you want to share a passage?
I would love to. Let's see.
And how long is this audio book?
Well, it's 45 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... It's funny. It turned into an audiobook. Of course, I didn't write it like that.
Mm.
But my publisher rather, loved the sound of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she is also a musician. And so she has a very, very musical type of ear. And I never even so much as sang. Well, you know, I sing all the time, but not well. And, so it was quite a challenge for me to go ahead and spring reading this. However, I've had great reviews.
Yeah.
It's so funny. One of the reviewers said that my voice sounds like warm butterscotch pouring over my southern drawl.
Oh, that's great.
I thought that was really nice, huh?
That's fantastic.
I wrote him a big thank you.
I bet you did. Well, you do have a great voice.
Well, thank you. How about if I read, getting back to the idea that I think a lot about what do cantaloupes think about, of course, I spent a lot of time thinking about what does spoon think.
Mm-hmm.
How about if I read something short, a little piece of a spoon soliloquy?
Oh, please do.
Does that sound good?
Yes.
And here the spoon is sort of ranting to himself. And to the forks and knives that are also in the silverware drawer. So he has an approving audience. Reflecting, the spoon said, I know that people go around thinking the world's all about them. It's not. It's all about silverware. Even before a baby learns to walk, she depends on us. Spoons are the first tool following the breast. We are the only utensils entrusted with the responsibility of home health care. It is us human beings rely on for a measuring of cough syrup or a slurp of chicken soup. Spoons are nurturers. People know their spoons will always help ease any heartbreak with a pint of ice cream. Don't you reckon a spoon feels that way about itself?
I think so. That's great. I think you're onto something. So I'm wondering how the primary theme of Hey Diddle Diddle really relates to your own life experience.
Right. Well, it's and exactly like you said, I write very poignant things that are often covered with humor.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic idea is, and it's not necessarily a new idea, but it's be careful what you wish for.
Mm.
And so every character in my book has some sort of a wish that comes true. But they all have differing outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we say, fortunately and sometimes unfortunately, wishes do come true.
That is very true. You got to watch what you wish for.
Yes, you do. You really got to be careful about that one.
So why did you decide to go there for this book?
I think it was, that's a great question. I think it was my own journey as an artist.
Mm.
Because, of course, I wished to have certain abilities and successes. And by George, when you get them, it's not exactly as you planned it would be.
Sometimes it's better not to get what you wish for.
I think so. Although, boy, I can really sulk about that one.
That's so true. Now, is it true, Marie, that you actually met the Dalai Lama?
I met the Dalai Lama, yes, I did. Very long story, extraordinarily short. Everyone had to exit from the highway about 2 a.m. one time. And so as we pulled into a Dairy Mart late at night, we pulled up to the gas tank to get, Twinkies and gas, and I saw way back in the back of the parking lot this little man in this little orange outfit, and I turned to my friend and I jokingly said, "Well, you get gas, I'm going to go meet the Dalai Lama." So, not really thinking. So here I go, off into the shadows of the Dairy Mart, and as I turn around the corner and into the shadows, sure enough, standing about 10 feet from me was the Dalai Lama.
Getting ice cream.
No, he was hiding from everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just his clothes, and I could see. Otherwise, he wouldn't even know. So I turned the corner, and here I am, son of a gun, really 10 feet, looking the Dalai Lama straight in the eyes. It's me and the Dalai Lama alone in the dark at Dairy Mart with his 10 giant bodyguards.
Oh my gosh.
So, yes.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Marie Davis. She is the author of Hey Diddle Diddle, A Naughty Delight for Lesbians and Other Grown-Ups. And you can find out more about Marie and her new book at formariedavis.blogspot.com. So I guess not having all your wishes come true, to have little surprise moments like that in life makes up for it, right?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. That was really an interesting thing. Well, isn't that the thing, though? Because no matter how things turn out, if you're clever enough, they can always be a good story.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I love your passage, so I would love for you to share another one if you have one handy.
I'd love to.
Okay.
Oops. My glasses, sorry. Okie dokie. All right, so this one is about Elsa, and this is, she is my lactose intolerant cow.
That's clever.
And she part of the reason, the way that she gets to the moon is knowing this cat who has a fiddle, just kind of to preface all of this. So here's this short passage, and it's nighttime, and Elsa is in her backyard, and she's very upset because she's been promised a visit with the moon, and the moon has not come to visit, and she's thinking, why did I have to be born with space dreams? All my wishes are just haunting nightmares that could never come true.
Mm.
And so here we go. Elsa sprang to her hooves. Hope churned her tummy far more than lactose had ever accomplished. Though the cat's music seemed far away, she started to skip into the backyard. However, with her first jump, Elsa did not return to the ground. Instead, she dangled just a few inches above the lawn. Astonished, Elsa skipped again and found herself higher in the air. Then Elsa leapt as hard as any cow could, still managing to modestly hold down her sundress. Would you like to hear another passage?
Sure.
Okay. It's also a love story, and this is Lil, who's the main character, and she and this woman that she's met, Veronica, are together in the kitchen, kind of for the first time. You'll know Veronica whenever you hear her. Lil pinned Veronica against the refrigerator, so close, lips to lips, eyes to eyes. Veronica inhaled Lil's breath. The breath softness filled her lungs, swirled in her brain, and cradled her heart. Warming, her heart felt a pang of something. What was that pang? But Veronica swiftly dispelled the question. After all, how long can a girl's heart hold another girl's breath?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, and it's just, Hey Diddle Diddle is very fun, and it has very tender moments, I think, as well.
Mm-hmm. Very, very clever. So is writing for you pretty much an organic experience, or do you really have a regimented idea before you go into writing?
Well, and I've heard other writers say this as well, the experience almost feels like that it's something that comes through me rather than of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I sit down, I show up, I do the work, and I am very disciplined about being at my computer every day, and I just sort of keep working until that voice comes.
Mm.
And then whenever it comes, I just keep writing and writing. Oftentimes, I wait for the perfect right beginning sentence, and then the rest of it can flow very quickly.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any warnings about your writing process?
Well, there's plenty, but in part the biggest one is that anyone who knows me, maybe is on an airplane with me, a grocery store clerk, friends, family, and foe, I warn everyone, anything they say can and may be used in one of my novels or cartoons.
Mm-hmm. You give them a little card, or is that something?
I really should. I should have like one of those warning labels on my business card.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, that's so funny. I mean, you probably can just really find humor in almost everything that you encounter.
I sure try to.
Yeah,
I do. It's a great mechanism for getting along in life, I think.
Absolutely. Now, you are very much involved in some other projects, one being, let's mention this one first. It is 10 Great State Women.
Oh, yeah.
Please tell us. Yeah, tell us about that.
That's so much fun. Every year, my business partner and I do a large women's history project, and we're very interested in women's history. And so that one in particular was a traveling exhibit that went around the state of Kentucky that talked about the history of 10 women who made significant contributions to the world, but yet their stories were pretty much lost to history.
Mm.
So we've spent quite a number of years searching through microfilm and old newspaper clippings and all of this to dig up these fabulous stories. Matter of fact, she and I are finishing a women's history book now.
Mm.
But that's not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much, I think, yes, you know, it's very important. I think we've done lots of other little projects, too. We did one that was Sphinx of the Bluegrass, which was a mystery hunt all throughout the state. We've done... Oh, gosh, all kinds of them. It's a lot of fun. It sure is.
So do you find that it's very important to you to really I don't spotlight Kentucky in your work?
Well, I have one strip that is exclusively in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So, and that one's called Kentucky Tales, and all of those projects have been done through Kentucky Tales.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
And that's a strip that's for middle school kids and younger. It's targeted. It's a newspaper and education program, so teachers can look it up online and in the newspapers and so forth.
Okay. Great. Now, you work also with a group called Women to Women, which sounds fabulous. So please tell us more about this organization and their vision and how you're involved.
Well, sure. I'm not as involved as I would like to be. However, I think that my main idea here is that I've had a lot of opportunities in life, and I certainly try to then return those. One of the ways that I do that is by supporting Women to Women, which is a great organization. If people are looking for someone to support, it's $27 ish a month, and they do help support women to bring them out of poverty, medical supplies, things, maybe to money to start their own business, school supplies, etc. And that's a wonderful thing. Of course, women in the developing countries are often the primary caretaker, frankly, just, you know, it's very often in this country as well. But I like to apply that same idea to people that I meet here. I never, ever, ever, ever turn down someone's request who comes to me and wants to know how to get ahead in their life, in their career, even if it might be somewhat competitive to mine.
Mm.
I think that most of my success is due to the fact that I have been very willing to help others.
So you're very much into service and mentoring then?
I really feel so, absolutely. And that comes in many forms. That comes to helping the gal at the grocery store buy her washing machine whenever it was flooded, or someone coming and saying, look, I want to be a cartoonist, how do I do this, and so forth. And I think, who is that? I think it was Zig Ziglar that said, you can have anything you want as long as you help enough people get what they want.
That's really great. That's powerful.
I really believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Have you had quite a few people help you along the way?
Oh, absolutely. And I've had some people be very unkind.
Mm.
And I think that's why this is such an incredibly sensitive and important topic with me, because I know what it's like to be young and getting started and walk into somebody's office and be really overwhelmed and, you know, afraid of everything, including my pantyhose wrinkling at my ankle. Sitting behind, you know, in front of this big desk and literally being chased out of the office nearly, you know, from just someone being very unkind. So, but then on the other hand, I'm glad those things happen from time to time, because I think it continues to build moxie.
Yeah.
If anybody's ever had that happen to them, they just need to keep going.
Yeah. Well, having that contrasting experience really kind of shows you how not to be, and really gives you that push forward to be someone different.
Absolutely. And I just, I don't know. Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we mentioned that you're busy at work on your second novel. Will this be an audiobook as well?
I think this one's coming out in print. I don't know yet. I'm still working on all of that. But I would love the opportunity to have it in print and as a audio novel as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great. You know, 45 minutes for Hey Diddle Diddle, I mean, that's a really a great amount of time. And having an audio book like that with the technology that we have now, this is kind of where things are going in the future.
Oh, absolutely. It's so funny. I've heard all sorts of stories. People plug it in and it, you know, gets them through into their car, and it kind of gets them through the rough Thanksgiving holiday with their fighting, warring family.
Yeah, right.
Or, you know, those long drives, the salesmen who have to pull over and just laugh.
Or getting through a workout.
Absolutely. It's so funny. I was at the gym not too long ago, and somebody had it with them. It was really interesting. I think it'd be great to run. I love to run. It'd be great to run, too. It was written a lot when I was running and swimming.
Oh, really? That's so interesting. Well, what are your thoughts on the whole idea of the decline of print media, that really technology is changing this whole genre, and especially the genre of the comic.
Right. Well, yes. Well, of course, I don't think that we're going to have the demise anytime in the next 10 years.
Mm-mm.
But it certainly will decline, and of course is now. And in some ways, that's sad. But in other ways, this is the new way that people are experiencing life and experiencing media. And so it's important for those of us who are working in media to get out there and meet people on their doorstep and provide information in a way that they want to have it.
Mm-hmm. And be willing to change and be flexible as a writer.
Absolutely. I mean, not that I want to see books go, because by gosh, I don't.
I don't think they will.
I don't think so either.
Mm-mm. But you're blogging now, which is big now.
It's a lot of fun.
And so let's talk about your blog just briefly.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and mention it and tell us what we can find there.
Uh-huh. Well, you can find it at formariedavis.blogspot.com. And that's the number 4.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And that and its companion Blogspot, which is their link together, I post new cartoons weekly. And I've really taken up to being a little bit more, a little more honest and revealing as to where I get my cartoon ideas, because often that's people's question, well, where do you get these ideas? Well, it's maybe not stories that I want to share, but I have determined that I'm going to be more honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
It will be. It's interesting. Readers will get a nice look into the creative process and what sparks or fuels a particular piece.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you blogging on a weekly basis?
I try to. I try to post a cartoon and a blog every week, yes.
Great.
Occasionally I don't, but most I try to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, definitely urge listeners today to go to your blog. I mean, this blogging and social networking is really kind of the wave of the future. So
it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marie, it's been so lovely talking with you today. You've really shared a lot about yourself, and your book, Hey Diddle Diddle, sounds fantastic, really. Such a humorous and insightful read. So I really thank you for coming on to the program today.
Well, thanks so much, Juanita. It was more fun than ever.
Well, great. Do you have final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think my biggest thought right now is talking about that it's very important that we continue to buy books that are from smaller publishers, because it's wonderful to have these large publishers, but if you're only buying from them, then you are volunteering for censorship. And it's just like music. We don't always buy everything that RCA puts out or whatever, but we're buying those independent labels. We need to remember to read independent work as well.
The great final thoughts. I mean, that's a whole conversation that maybe we'll talk about next time you come on the program.
Oh, that would be great. I'd appreciate that.
Wonderful, Marie. Well, you take care, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, that's been Marie Davis. Her new book, Hey Diddle Diddle, A Naughty Delight for Lesbians and Other Grown-Ups, is available now through Amazon.com. And also Marie's blog is formariedavis.blogspot.com, and 4 is the number 4. So I hope that you go check out her work. Really a fantastic interview and a fun, fun read. And Marie has a lot to say, so do check out her blog as well. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in again to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.